Well, as Louisa said at the beginning of the service, this morning's sermon is in the Lenten series and is entitled Called to Faith. Now, I guess that all of us here today feel called to faith. Otherwise, I guess we wouldn't be here. But we may well be at different stages on that faith journey. And maybe our faith journey is taking us in a new direction. Some of us may only recently have recognised that we have received a call to faith, or only recently decided to respond to it. And so are still exploring what it might mean for us as we go forward. Now, in our reading we heard from Genesis, we hear about Abraham's call to faith. And on the face of it, there might seem to be a transactional basis to Abraham's faith. Have faith in God, and in return receive the land and the gift of heirs. However, I'd argue that Abraham's faith in God was already self-evident. He had already responded to the call to faith, and had been waiting patiently for God's grace to be bestowed upon him. But whilst he's been patient, quite prepared to protest when he says to God, "What good is the land you have given me without any heirs?" God responds, but again, this is not a transactional process. He reveals to Abraham what he has done and what he will do in the future. I think it's very easy for us to slip into this idea that faith is a transactional process. If I have faith, then good things will come my way and nothing bad will happen to me. But the story of Abraham, I think, teaches us that even people of faith have to live with barrenness. But it is the faith that gives us hope that in time God's promise will be fulfilled. In the reading from the letter to the Galatians, Paul appears to be giving the Galatians a bit of a hard time. My translation, he says, "I am astonished, and I warned you in the past, and now I warn you again." Now, Paul was never one to mince his words, but even by his standards, this seems to be a bit of a tirade against the faithful of Galatia. I think we need to explore a bit the context behind this letter. The letter to the Galatians is thought to be a very early letter, written maybe as early as 40 AD, so less than 10 years after the death of Jesus. The great battle at the time within the early church was between Paul and his ministry to the Gentiles, and the church in Jerusalem, led by Peter and James. The point of dispute was how and if Gentiles could be admitted to the church. I think it's worth noting that in the early days, the followers of the way, as early Christians were called, in Jerusalem, had been brought up as Jews. They were circumcised and followed Jewish dietary rules. In effect, the early church was little more than a Jewish sect, if you like, which worshipped in the local synagogues. The early leaders of this church almost certainly believed that this was what Jesus had intended, to reform Judaism rather than create a new church. And so in their view, any new members needed to be circumcised and agree to follow Jewish dietary rules and regulations. Paul, on the other hand, had a conviction that his Jesus-given mission was to bring Gentiles, in other words, you and me, as non-Jews, into the way of Christ. For him, there should be no regulatory barriers to accepting Jesus into your life, so that all could respond to the call to faith without let or hindrance. Clearly, as in other congregations at the time, the Galatians were split on this issue. Paul, as always, was forthright and brooked no argument. If anyone preaches a gospel other than the gospel you received, in brackets from Paul, let him be bound. Not much room for compromise there. If we think back a couple of weeks to the meeting of General Synod, you'll recall that decisions were made there which many were uncomfortable with, because either they went too far or they didn't go far enough. As we know, the Church of England is a very broad church and holds in tension a wide range of deeply held views on any number of theological and doctrinal issues. I think from our readings this morning we can say that it was ever thus. So the question I think the letter to the Galatians poses for us is that whilst we are all called to faith, exactly what faith is it that we're called to? I guess at its most basic, we are called to a faith in God and in Jesus Christ our Saviour, who won our salvation through his death and resurrection. That seems to me to be the minimum faith requirement to be counted as a Christian believer. However, once we move beyond that basic minimalist requirement, opinions will differ. Different emphases will be put on various parts of Scripture and the different elements of church teaching. I well recall that when I was training for the priesthood, we had a lecturer who, in effect, debunked the Gospels in the first few weeks, basically challenging every assumption you had ever made about them. Then he spent the next few weeks building things back up, explaining what the essential message was and what it was that we could rely upon in our journey of faith. I have to say, I thought this was fantastic because it chimed with my natural predisposition to question everything and to try to rationalise everything. Some found this a deeply unsettling process as it threw into question things which they had held dear for many years. The thing it taught me was to be clear about what was fundamental to my faith and what things, if disproved, would be a serious challenge to that faith. There were plenty of other things that I believed to be true or wanted to be true, but which, if proven to be untrue, would not undermine my faith. If there were not this range of views and beliefs, then there would be only one Christian church, rather than the multiplicity of denominations we actually have, and of course the multiplicity of congregations that we have in communion within the Church of England. So quite a key question, I think, in responding to a call to faith is, what faith exactly is it that I'm being called to? One reason why I feel that this is such a key question is because of what happened in our gospel reading this morning. Now, if you've ever been to the Holy Land and you've taken that mandatory trip on the Sea of Galilee, which is included in every pilgrimage, you'll know and may have experienced how quickly the weather can change. The sea is set between two mountain ranges. This creates a microclimate in which storms can arise out of nothing. Set out from shore in a flat calm, and when only a few hundred yards from shore, you can be caught in a storm that threatens to sink the boat. This is just what happened to the disciples. And I guess we might think perfectly naturally, they panicked. But hang on, these guys had responded to a call to faith. They followed Jesus around the country for a year or more, challenging both the religious and secular leaders. Yet here they were, with Jesus in the boat, panicking as if they had no faith at all, whilst Jesus calmly sleeps. He says to them, "Where is your faith?" The implication is that their faith is so shallow and ill thought through that in a crisis it is as if they had no faith at all. So our three readings this morning carry the following messages for us. First, responding to a call to faith is not about seeking for reward. It's about living a life of faith so that the providence of God can work in our lives and to allow his blessings to fall upon us. Second, we need to understand exactly what faith we are being called to. Third, unless we understand that and have worked it out in our own mind, it will not be resilient enough to support us when life gets tough, as it will. Conclusion. There are some important elements to faith. A well-grounded, well-rooted faith gives us confidence to face the troubles that we'll face. A well-grounded, well-rooted faith leads to action. It makes us do things. It makes us respond to people and situations in a different way. A well-grounded and well-rooted faith makes us different. It should be obvious to those around us that we are people of faith, because it is what motivates us, what inspires us, and what sustains us. Thus, a well-grounded and well-rooted faith should be a hallmark of what it is to be a Christian, and of what it is to be you. So let us pray. Merciful God, teach us to be faithful in change and uncertainty, that trusting in your word and obeying your will, we may enter the unfailing joy of Jesus Christ our Lord.